All right, take your Bibles tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I appreciate Ms. Christina, Ms. Hannah doing that special. And again, for the benefit of those who maybe are in seventh grade or who are visiting with us for the very first time tonight, I would like to go ahead and introduce our youth workers. And so for the benefit of those who maybe are new, can we just have our youth workers stand up here real quick? And these are some priceless people. Yeah, why not? Right. All right, these are some priceless people that have given their service to serve you. And they love teenagers. They've been working in the teen group for a long time. And there's just a thousand and one things that these folks do for you guys, some of which you see and know about, others that you're not aware. But get to know these youth workers. They are there for you. And they enjoy talking with you guys. So I hope that as you're here and as you get a chance to see them during activities, you'll get to know them and really sense their love and devotion for the Lord. Great role models for you guys. All right, thank you so much. Y'all can take a seat. All right, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to sort of hit a two-part. The second part of the passage we looked at last week. And so if you need a Bible, you're not here tonight. I don't want anybody to feel awkward, but I do want you to see the truth of Scripture. Go ahead and raise your hand. I want to put a Bible in your hand. We've got a couple right here. Perfect. Anybody else on this side? You need a Bible? You didn't have a chance to grab your own? And anybody else? We may have some on this side. Just keep your hand up if we have a few extra. We do. There we go. All right, Brother Sam, getting that figured out for us. You know, really to me, there's nothing more exciting than the book that you hold in your hand. Number one, because God wrote it. But number two, because there's just some thrilling, exciting stories contained in it. How many of you would say, Brother Scott, I'm a reader. I enjoy reading. I would classify myself as a reader. How many of you would put yourself in that category? How many of you enjoy maybe a good mystery from time to time? You like mysteries of some sort. Did any of you anybody read the Hardy Boys series growing up? Anybody do that? All right, a lot of hands. Ladies, do you still do Nancy Drew? Is that a thing? Yeah. Okay. All right. Nancy Drew, these are great stories, and many times they're riveting, right? I mean, there's an issue, and then who did it, and, you know, what about that house, and what about that spooky sound, and, you know, we love mysteries. You know, there are some real-life mysteries as well. We could say that they're mysteries that have never been solved. I got a kick out of looking at some of the top mysteries that have never been solved. This afternoon, and as I was kind of looking at that, and some I expected, some I was like, well, I've actually never heard of that, but, you know, I don't know who classifies these, but some do. Some say that Jack the Ripper, the guy who did all of the murdering in London, 1800s, never caught. A lot of people suspected, but no one ever convicted. To this day, people still do not know who that guy was. It's an unsolved mystery. One that's maybe more familiar would be the assassination of JFK. Now, you want to hear conspiracy theories? Boy, there's 1,001 conspiracy theories around, you know, okay, who done it? You know, was it Oswald? You know, was he working with somebody else? You know, was Walt Disney involved? I mean, you know, there's just 1,001 ways that, you know, people say things could have happened. I was reading about a Malaysian airline flight back in 2014. And I forget how many people on board, but the plane disappeared. And it's never been found. It's just never been found. No debris. No nothing. Just it went off the grid. and is still an unsolved mystery to this day. Right? I mean, it's kind of like, whoa, Brother Scott, what are you setting us up for here tonight, right? Boy, mysteries, we wonder, and we kind of like, oh, wow. We like to give our two cents, you know, when we find the facts and we hear that sort of thing. And, you know, those are real-life mysteries. And yet, I'll tell you, there is a mystery in the passage that we're going to look at tonight that had Paul wandering a little bit. And it's quite interesting to look at, but go ahead and look back with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and notice verse 15, because this is what we talked about last week. You remember Paul talking to Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and pillar and ground of the truth." Wow, what a verse. We went through and we picked apart this verse. We talked about how we want to conduct ourselves, the importance of the church in general, and we're not going to rehash that here tonight. But notice this next verse. What does he say? And he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery." Okay, so what I want to do tonight is just challenge you with the short time that we have available to us, and I want us to look at what I think is perhaps the greatest mystery in all of the Bible. Heavenly Father, would you direct us as we study your word tonight? Lord, this is not, Lord, a common thing that we do. Lord, this is not a fleshly thing, Father, but this is a very spiritual activity that we are commencing on, and we ask for your help. Lord, we want your Spirit's direction in our hearts. Lord, we need to make application, and Father, we need the strength to live another day for your glory. And so I pray, Lord, that whatever the needs are tonight spiritually, and you truly are the only one who knows what those are, I pray that you would meet those needs. And Father, I pray that you would give us some clarity around this passage of Scripture, Lord, this verse, as we dissect it, and we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So Paul here shows us, just in one verse here, he's going to tell us something about this mystery. And you can find the word mystery throughout the Word of God, but in this passage, it really goes to show what entails a great mystery. And the first thing that a great mystery entails is something called controversy. And this verse speaks to it. Look at what the Bible says here. He says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery." So every great mystery deals with the element of controversy. And so the question must always be asked, is there any controversy surrounding this situation? And what is controversy, we could say? Well, it's a lack of agreement around a certain set of facts, or it's when somebody looks at something, they say, hey, well, this stuff doesn't add up. There's not a clear answer to this. And so before he tells us what the mystery is, he first of all points to something that every mystery has, and that is controversy. How many of you have ever had controversy in your home? Raise your hand. Every hand should be raised, okay? Because we have all had those situations that have come up. I see it in my boys. Somebody took something. Well, where is it? Well, I don't know. I mean, the classic thing is whenever someone's missing something, they come to me and they say, okay, it's gone. I say, okay, well, where was it last time you had it? Well, in my room. Okay, well, do you think that mommy or daddy went in your room and stole it? No. So where do you think it is? Probably in my room. That's exactly right, okay? Sometimes we have controversy. We lose things. I think it's always funny, and we talk about this during the summer, but if you go to the Bill Rice Ranch with us and you stay in the guy's cabin, there's special crowns in heaven, gentlemen, for staying in the guy's cabin. Guys, I'm sorry, all right? Look, you're going to look back on your teenage self and you're going to be like, whoa, Brother Scott, Brother Nathan, Brother Shay, they endured hardness as a good soldier. Brother Sam, I thank the Lord for them. Okay, but anyway, I digress. All right, so anyway, what happens is from time to time, we have a controversy. Does anybody remember the controversy? Somebody help me out. All right, what is it? Which one, right? Okay, the one where someone comes up and says, Brother Scott, Brother Nathan, Brother Chase, Brother Sam, my left shoe. It's stolen. It's just gone. Okay? And then we have to lovingly inform them that, you know, it's not stolen. Nobody needs your left shoe. Okay? It's probably just under your neighbor's bed or something like that. And then we find it all at the end. We push it to the middle of the cab and everybody says, oh, that's my left sock, my right shoe. And then we have a high old time, right? Controversy is something that makes every mystery or story, it makes it interesting. It's a set of facts that don't quite line up that leave us asking questions. Okay, so why does Paul mention this? Well, what does he say? Notice what he says about the controversy. In verse 16, he says, I'm going to tell you about a mystery, but I'm going to lead with this. And without controversy, great is the mystery. So this is actually what he's saying. He's saying this, there is something that is a mystery to me, and yet it is a mystery with everyone that I know, in that we agree that this is something that does not add up. And so we have controversy. Every mystery, every great mystery has something of controversy included in it. You know, I think this is interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, sometimes I think that we think that following Jesus means that we understand everything about life. Now, don't get me wrong, the Bible speaks to a lot about our everyday living. But just because we make the choice to be followers of Jesus and we have Him in our heart doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden we become like God and that we're all-knowing and we see everything clearly. The Bible says that we see through a glass darkly. In other words, our vision is blurred by our human nature and the temporal life that we live here on planet Earth. And there are things that Paul said. He said, you know, there's something here that I can't wrap my mind around. It is a mystery to me. And it's not just with me. It's with other people I know. We're in agreement. Notice the second thing here. Not only every great mystery deals with the element of controversy, but notice next, every great mystery deals with that of dynamic proportions. So what do you mean by that? Notice the next word. What kind of mystery does he call this? He says, verse 16, and without controversy, what's the next word? Ooh, I lost you. All right, look back at verse 16 there. Somebody help me. What is the word after controversy? Cheatham's got it. Great. All right, now that word is the Greek word we get our word mega from, okay? It means huge. It means great. So what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, hey, this is a big deal, okay? This isn't some just little run-of-the-mill thing. No, this is something of seismic proportions. Now, what would it be like if I was to come to you and I was to say, hey, I got to tell somebody this. I haven't told anybody. All right, now all of a sudden you're excited, right? I mean, you're already very interested in what... you have a friend do this to you and you just like, okay, you got all three of my ears. I'm ready. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening. Okay, so if I was to... I'm not quite sure how all of this is going to go, but I've just got to tell you, okay? Now listen, you got to promise me you're not going to share this with anyone. Okay, yeah, I got to. No, I'm not going to share it with anybody. You promise? Promise. Okay, all right. Okay, now listen. This morning, I was brushing my teeth. Wait. Shh. I'm not sure. I got the molars on the left side. Okay, now listen. You would look at me. Okay, all right, listen. You would look at me like I'm from another planet. You would say, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you. Never speak to me again. You would say, that makes no sense whatsoever, right? Why is it? Because every mystery is of a sizable proportion. Okay, and what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying this, is listen, this is not something light. This is not something small. This is something that we agree on, and yet is a huge part of this life. So you see the controversy. Boy, every great mystery has it. Well, you see the dynamic proportion here. He says, hey, listen, this is not something small. Boy, this is on the level of the eternal. Boy, I bet you it, as Timothy was reading this letter, I'm sure his ears were just perked up. What is Paul going to say? So you have these two elements, and then what's the third one? Well, every great mystery has a bottom line. So I want you to notice the bottom line with me, okay? We've been going word by word here. He says, and without controversy, in other words, there's no discrepancy here. Everybody agrees that what? Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. What is Paul talking about here? What does he mean, the mystery of godliness? Well, he explains himself in the following words. Notice as he goes into this, he qualifies his statement. He says, God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, now what does that mean? What does manifest in the flesh mean? Somebody help me. What does that mean? Maybe we don't use that terminology so much today. I manifest today, Brother Scott. Yes? He became flesh, right? Okay, so look at it. Number one, God was manifested in the flesh. Stay with me. Justified in the Spirit. What does that mean? What does justified in the Spirit mean? Justified. What does justified mean? Anybody? Any takers? It means, yeah. He's righteous. You know, so what's it saying? It's saying he was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, okay, came to earth. He was a righteous person. Okay, I was talking with somebody today. We were talking about the character of God. Talking about that God is holy. That God is 100% pure. He is perfection. He has never done wrong. He has never thought an evil thing. He will never do wrong. It is a part of who he is. He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. What else does the Bible say? Is it seen of angels? It's talking about the gospel story, the coming of Christ. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Boy, that means he offered himself not just to the Jewish people, but he offered himself to people like you and me who would have been Gentiles. Notice next, he says, believed on in the world. Well, that's the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read over and over and over again where there were people just like you and me. When Christ walked this earth, who said, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I will follow. Yeah, that's my Savior. Believed on in the world. And then what does it say? The following, received up into glory. The Bible says that he ascended up to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is, even to this day. He's making intercession for us. Okay, so Paul, what's the mystery here? I mean, you just explained yourself somewhat. What is the mystery of godliness? And here it is. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying this. He said, I cannot wrap my mind around why God would do that for me. That's the mystery. Perhaps the greatest mystery in all of the Bible. What was in it for God? Lose your son, watch him crucified, beaten, taunted. What was in it for God? We disappoint the Lord. We have good days, we have bad days. We have days where we know that we should do right, and we know what the right thing is to do, and yet we turn our back on him. Well, this is what Paul was scratching his head over. And at this stage in Paul's life, he is a mature believer. Okay, this isn't just after, you know, he accepts the Lord as a Savior. No, he's written several books here, and this is pointing towards the latter part of his life. And he says this. He says, look, it is a mystery to me. I can't wrap my mind around it, and I don't know that I can explain it, why God would be willing to do all of that for me. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the fact that I don't have to understand every reason why God did what he did in order for me to have a relationship with him and trust him every day that I live and serve him. Here's the purpose of the message tonight, is that you would realize, boy, the God that we serve. And that you would take in the fact that a God, boy, who gained nothing, would be willing to do what he did for us. You know, there's not a person in this room tonight whom God does not love, and love far greater than any human possibly could. We disappoint the Lord. We turn our back on him. And yet there he is, loving us, always faithful. Perhaps the greatest mystery. And I hope that it's something that you don't take for granted tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I encourage you, in just a moment, when we have an invitation time is simply a time, an opportunity for you to do business with God. A lot of times teenagers like to come forward down here at the altar and pray, talk to the Lord. You can do that in your seat. You can do that here. Sometimes a teenager may want to talk with a youth worker more specifically about an issue that's going on. I encourage you tonight, if you're at a place where you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, I invite you to seek one of the youth workers out and allow them to explain what you have to do to be saved. The first thing you need to do is realize that there's a God that loves you and that created you and wants you to serve him. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Great is the mystery of our God. Boy, I don't understand everything he does. I don't understand everything of what he is, although the Bible gives us much of how he operates and how his character functions. But I hope tonight that you are able to sit in awe of the God who created you and loves you with all of your faults. There is no movie, there is no book, there is no novel that is greater than the story of our God. Return his love tonight for your own. Serve him. Be faithful. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless our invitation time. And Lord, I pray that you would grip our hearts with this truth. May, Father, we put away sin, put away those things that distract us. And Lord, may we just simply bask in your wonderful and great presence. Be with our invitation. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, the altar's open, but let me just say, if God's worked in your heart, you want to talk to a youth worker about salvation or accepting the Lord and start that conversation, you're more than welcome to go to the back of the room. They'd be happy to handle any questions you might have. The piano's going to play. If God's worked in your heart, you be obedient to move as he's directed you. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his care. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. This is just time for you to sit and talk to the Lord. Whether you're here at the front or in your seat, search your heart. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word, and Father, may it resonate beyond this service. Lord, help us to bask in just how precious a Savior you are, and Lord, walk with you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.